Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Vick. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you and to give you praise, to give you all the glory and honor. We are grateful to you, Lord, for all that you have done and continue to do for us. This morning, Lord, we come before you as we pray these Colossians prayers over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, today we want to talk about healing and restoration. Healing is part of, both healing and restoration are part of the salvation package. These are the benefits that are given to us for every area of our lives. However, I find that a lot of times as Christians, we are limited in our knowledge of healing. Many times we think healing is just in the area of physical, you know, healing, when somebody has some type of sickness, disease, or virus. And so that's where we think that's the only time we can speak of healing. Having done, having been in ministry for over 20 years now and doing dealing with healing, I find that a lot of people think when you mention healing, it just means, well, if I'm sick, well, it's not only about being sick. I want to show you from the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22. The Bible says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people restored? Because Zion no longer enjoys the presence of the great physician. Amen. So the great physician is available to each and every one of us for every area of our lives. He's not only here to physically heal us in our body, but he also wants to heal us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, and this healing affects every area of our lives. Now, I'm talking about this today because we are about to embark on a 21-day fast for healing and restoration, our mid-year fast, which begins on Friday. And if you haven't signed up for that, you might want to sign up for that today. Even if you've been part of the healing, the fasting from the 40 days and the monthly, you still need to sign up for the 21 day. I'm only sending, you know, emails to those on the 21 days of fasting, not any other list. And so the reason I bring this up is because the Spirit of God has put upon my heart how a lot of people are dealing with physical exhaustion. They are spiritually weary. And one of the things that he wants us to receive healing and restoration from is in that particular area of, spiritual weariness, physical exhaustion, and sometimes our finances cause us to be so exhausted, not necessarily just physically, but the enemy's MO is to wear us down spiritually and physically. Once he can wear us down spiritually and physically, he's able to penetrate into our lives and wreak havoc. So regardless of what's going on in your life, I want you to understand that healing and restoration is for you. God wants to give you, you know, he wants you to be healed completely. Amen. And he doesn't want you to stay in that place where you've been depressed. In fact, if you look at Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to go through some scriptures here. Isaiah 60, tells us, verse 1, it says, arise from the depression and frustration in which circumstances have kept you. So circumstances can keep us, bring about depression. That discouragement can then lead into depression, which is a medical condition, when we look at it from a natural perspective, but also it's a spiritual condition because it is a spirit of depression. And so if you're suffering from a spirit of depression, you want to partake of this healing fasting that we're doing. Now, I know that there are people who can't completely fast, because of maybe the medical conditions or they're taking medication. You can do a partial fast, like a Daniel fast, where you leave out things like sugar and meat, and you fast, you use maybe vegetables. You can do a four-hour fast. But again, always consult your physician if you're on medication, and make sure that you are able to join in the fast. But then there are those that I've had questions before, those who are pregnant and can't fast at all. It doesn't matter if you can't completely fast if there's a condition that, you know, whether it's pregnancy or something else, you can still be part of the fast, just receiving the word, meditating and praying together with us, even though you're not fully. But I do encourage those of you who are able to fast, and you'll find that there's several benefits and the results will just be marvelous. Now, one of the things, again, like I'm saying, is that, you know, the enemy is attacking not only our physical bodies, but he's attacking our minds. I'm discovering more and more that people are actually giving in to these attacks. And I've been sharing recently with several people that don't allow the enemy to come into your mind. Don't give him space in your mind. Remember, the Bible tells us that, you know, we have the mind of Christ. When you confess that I have the mind of Jesus Christ, that means that space there is too expensive for Satan to be part of it. And so when he injects negative thoughts into your mind, you need to take authority over those thoughts, cast them out, capture those thoughts and cast them out. Don't give them space, you know, don't give him space to rest. Where he comes in, injects that thought, and that thought stays in your mind, and you continue to dwell on that negative thought. No, don't allow that. Immediately cut it off. In fact, I was sharing with somebody yesterday, I don't remember the last time that I allowed the enemy to come into my mind and to attack me like that. You know, even when he does try, I resist it. You know, I don't sit there and dwell on that negative thought that he's injecting. But we allow ourselves, most times as Christians, he'll inject that negative thought and say, well, I know you pray, but, you know, it doesn't seem like the answer is coming. I know you're trusting God. I know you paid your tithe. I know you did this. But look at your situation. And you allow that negative thought to come in. And there he is speaking to you. And then you open up your mind, give him the space. And then he starts injecting more and more different negative thoughts, which then cause you to put on a coat of heaviness, which is depression. You know, you get into a place of discouragement. You say, well, I'm discouraged. I don't know what I'm going to do. Why? It started with a thought. It started with the enemy trying to tell you that God can't be trusted. And you have to, at that particular moment, when he comes in with those negative thoughts, you've got to reject them. And you've got to say, no, I trust God. I commit everything into his hands. Devil, get out of my mind. Leave me. I mean, you've got to take authority. I cancel those negative thoughts. I do not allow them space in my mind. You have to have the word of God that counteracts whatever the enemy is saying to you at that particular moment. When you do that, you'll find that you will, you know, the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And sure enough, he will flee. But the reason why I say we give him space, we actually rent him space, we invite him in, because recently, the Lord has had me paying attention to the things people say out of their mouths. And when, you know, most times they'll be, oh, you know, and the devil was doing this to me, and the devil, why did you allow him? Resist him. Don't allow him to do those things to you. You have the power to resist him. Now, if you're spiritually worn out, you'll find it hard to spiritually to resist the devil. That's why you need to be healed and to be restored in that area that he's attacking us. And so God's Father, God's will for us is for us not to ever be afflicted with sickness, disease, or anything. He, you know, and God is not the one that afflicts us with stuff. We've got to get that clear. He doesn't allow that. It's when we open the door. Either we open the door through sin, or we allow the enemy to just come in and inject these negative thoughts, and then we start dwelling on those negative thoughts. When we meditate on those, you need to remove those and begin to meditate on the Word of God. Now remember that He is a thief, He is a liar, He is a destroyer, and He's looking for someone whom He may devour. And so if you give Him an inch, He'll take a whole yard. You know, He'll come in and He'll bring all sorts of stuff into your head, and what may have started out to be a great day will end up being the worst day, because now you'll be depressed, or you'll be discouraged, you'll be fearful, you'll be all that stuff, because you've allowed Him that little bitty inch to come in. The minute He brings something contrary to what God has said about your situation, cast it out. Resist Him. You've got to fully submit yourself to God. Resist Him. And that resisting may take, you know, everything in you to resist it, but resist Him, and He will flee. Amen. And so becoming spiritually weary is one of the most dangerous positions that you can be in. When you're spiritually weary, it will affect you mentally and physically. It doesn't only just affect you mentally. And what the enemy tries to do is to wear you out. If he can get you to be spiritually weary, he will, you know, he'll try to wear you out. And unless you are aware of what is happening and prepare yourself for the battle, you will not be able to stand. You cannot afford to be ignorant of the enemy's strategies. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read verse 11. It says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Now, what's interesting is I started off with verse 11, and most times we'll pick out a scripture like that and say, oh yeah, we know, so take, so we don't want Satan to take advantage. But if you read prior to that, you will find that Apostle Paul is saying, let's start from verse 7. So instead of further rebuke, now you should rather turn graciously, forgive and comfort and encourage him to keep him from being overwhelmed by excessive sorrow and despair. This is talking about if there's somebody, you know, in your midst who has, if someone in your midst has committed incest, this is what it's talking about. If somebody in your midst has committed incest, has caused all this grief and pain, and has caused it not to, to me, but in some measure not to put it too severely, he has distressed all of you. You know, you've got to censure that one person, and you know, give, you know, which once you censure him, then you can forgive him. Now, why I'm bringing this up is that there are situations that can cause us great sorrow, deep distress, and mental torture and anxiety, and we don't realize as Christians that we need healing from that. And that if that door is kept open, it'll cause other problems in other areas of our lives, not physically only, but in other areas of our lives, whether it's in our relationships, in our marriages, that will cause problems for us. So here he's talking about the pain. You know, he's talking about how, you know, the person, you know, who Apostle Paul in verse 4 says, for I wrote you out of great sorrow and deep distress, with mental torture and anxiety of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but in order to make you realize the overflowing love that I continue increasingly to have for you. Let's jump to verse 9. For this was my purpose in writing you, to test your attitude and see if you would stand the test, whether you're obedient and altogether agreeable to following my orders in everything. If you forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence and with the approval of Christ and the Messiah. Why? To keep keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. One area that will hinder you from receiving complete healing and restoration in every area of your life is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like this huge suitcase that you've packed in a mansion. You know, let's take a 10,000 square foot mansion and you put it in this suitcase and you're carrying it on your shoulder. That's what unforgiveness is all about. It will wear you down. You know, physically, it will wear you down. Spiritually, it will wear you down. Amen? And so the enemy knows that if you can be worn down spiritually, it will be for him to wear you down physically, and he can attack you in every area because you won't even be strong enough to fight him off in other areas of your life. And so this healing is so important that we understand it. It's not just healing of our physical bodies. We need that to be able to fight the fight that we are fighting. You know, and this is one area of ministry where people think it's not as important. We have healing school, for instance, every month. We find that people don't necessarily think they need to be there because they feel like, well, I'm not sick, so I don't need to be there. But you might be having trouble in other areas. You need healing in those other areas. You need to be able to be physically fit to fight the battle, because remember, we are in war. Whatever issues are coming against you, that's a battle. You need to be physically fit to fight those battles. So let's look at, so here we know that we want to make sure that we're not spiritually weary. Why? To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us. Amen. Satan will attack you through your circumstances and will try to place sickness and diseases on your body. He will then bombard your mind with fear and worry and doubt until you become spiritually weary. At this point, if you faint in your mind, you'll become discouraged, you'll lose hope, and resign yourself to accept sickness and your circumstances. And your discouragement will lead to depression, and depression will eventually affect your body. Once your spiritual and physical resistance is down, you'll be more vulnerable to sickness, disease, and the attacks of the enemy. That's the way the enemy works. So let me say that again. So the first step is that he will attack you in your circumstances outwardly. He doesn't always start with physical sickness in our bodies. He starts with attacking us outwardly. He will attack maybe your finances. He may attack your marriage. He may attack your relationships, maybe with your children. He may attack you on your job. He may attack you in your business. In any area, he will attack you, okay? Once he does, he attacks you in those areas, then when you're beginning to fight him, you may, you know, he then opens the door to place sickness and disease on your body. How does he do that? Well, first, he will attack your mind, because he attacks you in other areas. Then he comes and attacks your mind with fear and with worry and doubt. That's why you have to resist these things. You have to come against the spirit of fear. You've got to know the scriptures. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Why? Because if you don't know these scriptures and you don't speak them out and meditate on them, that's the number one area that the enemy will attack you first. So you'll bombard your mind with fear, with worry, and doubt. Once he attacks you outwardly, he does that. Once you become spiritually weary, because when he attacks your mind, that's the first thing. You'll become spiritually weary. At that point, when you decide to faint in your mind, that also opens the door, causes your body to be physically weak, and then he can place sickness and disease on your body. And then at that point, if you faint in your mind, you'll become discouraged, and you'll lose hope, and you resign yourself to accept your sickness and circumstances. When you lose hope, you can't operate in faith, you know, and God only operates in an environment of faith. God doesn't operate outside of faith. The Bible even tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. you know, that he that comes must come, you know, knowing that God is, you know, that God is faithful. You know, God is faithful, and he only operates in faith. He's not going to operate outside of faith. So when we lose hope, we lose that leg of standing on faith and trusting God. Because remember, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it talks about now faith is, amen, let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, as being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So we need faith. Amen. We need that faith from God, and we need to have that hope, knowing that God will do what he said he will do. And so if you resign yourself to, you know, to weariness, to, you know, or you lose hope or become discouraged and resign yourself to accept your sickness and circumstances, your discouragement at that point leads to depression, and depression eventually affects your physical body. Once your physical body, you know, once your spiritual and physical resistance is down, you'll be more vulnerable to sickness, disease, and the attacks of the enemy. Now, God's divine healing is spiritual, so it is first received in our spirit before there's an outward manifestation of our healing. However, if your spirit is overwhelmed and you've become spiritually weary, you will be unable to resist the attacks of the devil on your body, and you won't be able to receive God's word or release your faith. That's the strategy the enemy uses. So a lot of times you'll find that somebody's sicknesses, you know, cannot even be traced. And we always say, well, it's a spiritual thing. True, because you can be spiritually weary. And that's why you need to take in the word of God, you know, take it in like you would take medicine. Amen. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 20 through 22, that healing, you know, God's word is health to our flesh. And so you take the word of God and you receive it through our human spirit, you know, taking the word, and it becomes our medicine, you know, in the same way we take physical, you know, medicine in the physical, in our physical body to heal by physical means. We have to first start from receiving healing inside. Healing outwardly will not manifest unless we receive healing on the inside. Amen. And, you know, when healing begins on the inside, you'll begin to see things change outwardly. Not only will your body receive physical healing, but as you take that word of God, you'll begin to see your circumstances outside also beginning to receive healing. You see, there's power in the word of God, and there's healing power that is there in the word to manifest whatever you and I need. That's why God in Isaiah 55 verse 11 said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it. The mistake that we make normally as Christians is that we think we can just speak the word and speak the word, read the word of God and speak the word of God, and then, you know, expect to see results. But if the word hasn't settled inside your spirit, you can't see a manifestation of that word on the outside, because it has to start first within your spirit. So that's why meditation is important. You know, meditating on the word of God. You know, we know how to pray a lot, praying, but we don't know how to meditate. You see, I feel like prayer is where we're communicating with God. Meditation is that time where we sit and wait around for God to respond. But we don't just sit twiddling our thumbs. We're actually focusing on that particular word, whether it's the whole chapter of the Bible or that particular word that God has given, and we are waiting on God to speak to us. But we go over it and go over it and go over it. So meditation is, we can say meditation is listening for God. You know, praying is you and I communicating, giving God our requests, and he hears, because it's a dialogue. It's not a monologue, where we are just going to God once, you know, where the ones just saying, oh, God, this, I need this, I need that, and get off. No, when we speak, when we present our petitions before the Lord, we should give and allow the Holy Spirit time to respond. And so in meditating, then we are waiting upon God. In meditating, we're not the ones speaking. We're not the ones asking again or presenting any petition. In meditating, we are waiting. We're in a position of sitting at Jesus' feet like Mary did and receiving that which is needful. And so we hear that word and we meditate. We, you know, go over it, that word in our mind, and in our mind we keep on going over it and going over it. You know, you may just speak it out of your mouth, but, you know, you're thinking over it, thinking over it, thinking over it, thinking over it. And as you begin to think over it, you begin to see that word manifesting in your life. You begin to see it actually, you know, you begin to see that word going forth in areas of your life where you probably did not, you know, realize that that word would manifest. And you see yourself healed. You see your marriage healed. You see, you know, your finances being restored. You see, you know, relationships being restored or your marriage being restored, whatever. But that word, you keep on thinking on it, and God is speaking to you through that word. That's meditation. So prayer is speaking to God, but meditation is listening to God. And so as you meditate on the word, it's settling on your inside. And as it's settling on your inside, then you begin to see an outward manifestation. It doesn't take long. Once it's settled on the inside, it doesn't take long for it to manifest itself outwards. So Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, to counteract Satan's attacks to wear us down physically, spiritually, and mentally, the word of God must abide in us. It must remain inside us so that it will take root in our spirit. Now, this involves more than just reading the word or even repeating scripture by, you know, well, just confessing scripture. No, you've got to meditate on God's promises concerning that healing that you need in whatever area, whether it's healing in your finances, healing in your marriage, healing in your relationships, maybe with your children, healing, you know, in your career, healing on your job, healing in your physical body. Amen. And so you've got to meditate on these promises. You've got to bring your thoughts into submission to the word of God. When the enemy's trying to attack your mind to say, oh, that's not going to happen. No, take authority over those words. Bring them into submission to the word of God until that word becomes a part of you. When that word becomes a part of you, then when you speak his promises through, you know, by faith into your circumstances and into your body, it will result in healing and restoration. That's how this happens. So it's not something where you just speak the word, okay, or you read the Bible and then I'll just confess the scripture without meditating. You won't see it happen. You won't receive the type of the breakthrough that you need. It's only after you've meditated on the word of God and it takes root on the inside of you that it'll start manifesting on outwardly, and then you will receive, you know, the breakthrough that you're desiring. So again, we are, you know, fasting beginning the 1st of June for 21 days, our mid-year fast, and I encourage you all to sign up. The email is going out again today. I encourage you to sign up. If you're not part of our mailing list, you can email us at bvandaministries@aol.com and or go to our website, behealed365.org, and send us a request through there, and it can add you to our mailing list, and so you can be part of this healing, the healing and restoration fasting that we are doing for the next 21 days beginning June 1st. And so I thank you this morning for joining me, and I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching. Have a blessed and prosperous day, and we'll speak again tomorrow morning.